It's never that simple with Ramon. I am back. Thank you for listening once again. You have 10 different streaming services once again. Thank you. I appreciate every one of you who goes out the way to listen to me consistently. I really do appreciate that. That means a lot to me. So I wanted to kind of get into something today. So today's podcast, I kind of wanted to get into some fears. Lately, I've been, you know, away from so many different things that I'm usually involved in that I genuinely just is interested in. I consider myself someone who is, I guess, a sponge to information. You know, I'm an information junkie. I like to, you know, learn, find out what's going around in the world, people's mindset, the process of just living life. And unfortunately, even though there are always going to be positive things out there, there are so many negative things that's going on right now that affects people so much, especially when it's life and death. But you know, I'm just going to kind of walk through it, talk about just more about me and some of the fears I have, you know. But I first wanted to kind of start out to tell you guys that a week ago today, I officially became an engaged man. Clap for me. All right, that's enough. So Sarah and I have been together for 4 years, roughly. And a couple months would be 4 years, we've been officially in a relationship. I've known her for 4 years. Our first date was around this time 4 years ago. At the time in my life, I was in the gym all the time. I was working out 6 months after my grandma passed away. And, you know, my mind was focused on being in the gym. And it was more because everything around me, you know, I really hated where I was when it comes to where I was working, you know. I was still DJing events, things like that. But, you know, it was a lot of things that I felt like being in the gym and working out. Number one, it felt good, and I had a different type of energy that I haven't had in a long time. And weight started flying off. Little did I know, some of the information to help you maintain, that's a subject for another day, for people who's not knowledgeable of those things. But anyway, so we've been together 4 years, and for like over a month or so, I was just kind of playing out how I was going to propose. I had plans to do this a couple years ago, but things happen in life. You know, you hesitate. You kind of, you know, you have to reconfigure some things. And now more than ever, I was confident that I was going to do this, right? And I did. Around the time when Sarah and I first started talking, we used to always kick it over at Herman Park. Is that Herman Park? Yeah, where Miller Outdoor Theater is. You know, they have like a little run trail, things like that. And we used to always hang out because she was in Pasadena and I was on the north side of Houston. And I always had a thing where I just don't drive far to kick with anyone. Like, I don't care what you offering. I was like, yeah, if they come to me, cool. But I don't, you know, once in a blue moon, I've driven across town to kick it. But it's not really my thing. I don't care for that. But, you know, we just started kicking it. We used to meet. That was kind of like the middle of town. It was like the best place to kind of hang out at. And I figure when I finally got to the decision, this is what I'm going to do. Why not pick a better place than where it all started? Starting back to where, you know, just the basics of what made us great. And we're still great now. It's just, that's where it all started. That, and I have a strong appreciation for that because, you know, it was hot as hell outside that summer. You know, we would still go out there and kick it in the heat. Now you tell us to go kick in some heat? Hell no. I'm like, man, it's too hot outside. But before then, you just interested in someone, you don't give a damn what the hell is going on outside. You know? And, you know, I did some ring shopping. I was telling people. I kept a lot of close to my hip. Because it can be very difficult trying to plan something out. It can be very difficult trying to, I want to have this moment perfect. I'm confident in when I figure something out and I know someone very well, I know something's going to work because I spent a lot of time just trying to process someone, their reaction, and get a moment to be right. You know, it's all about timing. It's all about the way you set up a moment. So, you know, I had to kind of handle everything with care. And I finally, you know, figured it out. You know, the part that can be difficult is ring shopping, trying to figure out ring sizes, all these other things. And you're going to invest some money. Little money, whatever the definition is going to hit your pockets regardless. You know, so did some shopping, did some looking around. I spent days and even evenings just kind of just like, man, it's overwhelming. And only because, like, you're trying to figure this out, man. It's like, man, you got to find the right one. Is this the right type of material? You know, you get worried about, man, I don't want nothing fake because I don't want to change the colors in our fingers. Is it going to fit? You know, all these different things are going to store. And luckily, I was able to help get some amazing help by a young woman named Gina, worked in the jewelry department. And she, you know, we was looking at, and it was just details that really mattered to me. And I figure when I make my mind up of what I was going to do, it was all going to come out right, right? And, yeah. And so Sarah was busy that Monday, and I was like, hey, you know, I planned it out where it's like, I don't want to say, hey, just call me when you got out of work or just meet me here. Like, no, she got out of work. I was like, just call me when you get done. You know, you way home. Be safe. That's my thing. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm headed home. I was like, yeah, I'm just at the park right now. And, you know, sometimes we'll go to the park and kind of picnic, eat something, you know, just enjoy nature. But I was like, yeah, you know, just come by, say what's up, you know, type thing. And so she came by. She felt weird. She was in work clothes. She had a long day. And, you know, I set it up, had a nice little candle in the little area that we were posted up at. And, yeah, and I had the moment, you know, just kind of, you know, spoke to her just straight how I felt, what the meaning of why we were there. And it's a long time coming. You know, Sarah's always wanted to be married. Like, she's, you know, and then being in a relationship with me, you know, I don't blame her. She really, that's something she really looked forward to, and having a future with me. And, you know, for me, it's I laugh because I told my homeboys, I was like, man, I did it. But before then, the idea that, you know, I would open up emotionally a certain way and get on one knee and propose, it's just crazy for me. Like, you know, it's not like I'm a certain type of dude where I was like, no, man, it ain't my style. It's just, you know, I'm real cool, laid back dude. And there are certain things I'm just like, you know, you feel goofy when you do it, you know? And those were one of those things, but I felt like that was something that was important for me to do, and for her to know that, look, we don't have to be ghetto married. She hate that, the common law. Like, I always joke, we're going to be ghetto married. And she always like, oh, we'll be ghetto married. But so I did it, and I'm engaged now. We're trying to figure out dates and just let y'all know, I'm be real strict on a lot of things. Not really strict. It's just I want to lay the law because I've been doing weddings for about 6 years now. I've seen it all. I seen it all and dealt with it all being a DJ or being a photo booth tech. And what people don't understand is there are people sometimes that just get a little too uptight. There are a lot of people who want to be involved. People want to feel special on someone else's day. And the thing about it, it's coming out the bride and the groom's pocket. It's their money. It's their planning for you to come to their moment. And for me, it's like, I don't want this to be uptight. Because what comes down at the end of the day is, this is our life. This is our marriage, you know, and some people, a person like me, like, yo, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to enjoy it, but all the other stuff, nah. And so I'm pretty confident in the people that she knows and around, and same thing with me. Like, I'm not really worried. I recently asked my little brother to be my best man. He was a little hesitant because it's not really his thing. He felt like it just, you know, just little things that he has to do. I was like, nah, man. All I care about is you just being by my side. That's all I give a fuck about, to be honest with y'all. And so, yeah, and it's crazy that I'm here in this moment. So, all right, so thank you for listening to that. I, you know, kind of went on about it, but I know some people been wondering about it, and she was just crying, and you see the tears, and, you know, Sarah got that, like, when she cry, it's like, you know, she, you know, women got that I'm a cry for no reason thing, but when she cry, man, that it's a lot of, like, it's like, you know, you really feel it, like, you can see it, like, it just, that's pure, that's raw emotion. It's kind of like seeing an athletic Vince Carter, like, you know, he still had a home in his talent, but when he jump in the air and dunk, it's like, that's raw talent right there, like, oh, you get excited, you feel a certain way. So when you see Sarah cry, that's all raw emotion, and just a tear and a happiness, like, wow, he actually did it, and she, you know, said yes. That meant something to her, and hugged me, and, you know, just held me tight. And I think for any man, that means something to you. Like, man, someone genuinely loves your dirty draws. Anyway, so, all right, fear. The reason why I wanted to kind of talk about fear a little bit is, it's not like little things like I'm scared of snakes and roaches, and this is more like something that really it changes the way you think. It changes the way you live your life. And it can really it messes with people. You know, it really is unfortunate, because I know everyone wants to live this life where, you know, people have this idea that, you know, you can live life, face your fears and things like that. But the fear I have, well, the fears, but I say the main fear I have is there's no process to exactly tell yourself to face your fears about. There's, you know, there's just nothing to that. And what I'm, and part of what maybe come to terms with that is when you watch videos, when you listen to people's stories of what they go through, and my perspective on a fear is being out driving, just living in this world, and you can't go anywhere without no crazy shit happening because of others. It sucks that you worry about your fellow citizens, civilians, doing some fucked up shit, but it's crazier to know that somebody who is the stature as I am and the color that I am, I can't drive or I can't walk in a building peacefully. I can't be anywhere peacefully with someone having this idea that they can harass me because whatever fucked up in their mind or power or control they want to have. I live in Houston. I might have my issues with some tickets, whatever, but besides the point, I live in Houston where people get put in handcuffs and put temporarily in jail and gotta have to deal with the bail bonds. Because that's a normal thing here. Over little petty shit. Like tickets. Like a simple fucking ticket. But the problem is even when it's something so simple getting pulled over. Look, some people say, just give me a ticket. Tell me what to do. I got to do. Let me go to court. I'll deal with that later. But it's a simple fact that even something small, people are being shot and killed over that. I've heard officers, I worked at Majestic Metro, and you hear officers like, look, the scariest thing you can do because you don't know what's going to happen is pulling someone over because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I understand that. I couldn't be a police officer personally. It's not really my steez. But my whole thing is that's a very dangerous job. And there's some fucked up people. But the problem is when you can take something like numbers, when you can take something like statistics and put and throw that on the wall and say, hey, you might feel this way in the moment and blah, 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 blah. But the stats show that you're more likely to do this to this type of person than this type of person, even if that person is innocent. Even if that person didn't do anything wrong. Even if that person just minding their own business, it's because they breathe air. They exist is why you doing fucked up shit. That has me paranoid. You know, part the main reason is just because I have to drive places. The only way you can get around Houston if you drive somewhere. There's no public transportation. Like, you could just be on the bus or train and be chilling. Yeah, it'd be some characters on there, but you ain't really got to worry about police pulling over the bus and trying to find you on the bus. And be like, you got an ID on you? I don't like the fact that I'm from Wisconsin, so you hear stories about your friends from small town USA, and they know everybody, they know who people are, they know if they see, they harass you. That shit ain't fun to me. That's abuse of power to me. I don't like when people do that shit. And people just think that shit cool. People give that shit an excuse. That shit's trash. Trash and ass at the same damn time. And it's sickening, man. It really is. And so, when you watch videos of someone get pulled over by police, they was like, you know what? I'm gonna record just in case. The dude has a gun drawn. He tells you he wants to see your hand, but he wants you to turn your car off. It's not like turning your car off. It's a button on the window so you can still see the hand. You have to put your hand down and turn the key towards you or press a button. You want me to unlock the door, which is next to me on my hip, to open the door to get out. But you need to see my hand. But if you don't see my hand, you're going to shoot. So when you have something like that set up the fear, that puts fear in me. Look, the thing is I'm scared of lightning. I don't trust people. I don't like guns. I can't swim. I like going swimming. I just can't swim. So I know how to avoid 13 feet of water. Shit, I avoid 6 feet of water. Yeah, I might be 6 feet tall. But water go past my nose and I'm standing up straight, I'm drowning. That's how much I can't swim. But it gets real cowardly. And to me, guns bring the coward out of anyone. That's why I don't really rock with guns. Because people don't know, that people are not competent, they're not smart to solve shit. Guns is just, that's the end all be all. We don't value life. And because I see people don't value life, I'm not gonna depend on people to value minds the way I value minds. So when you have Law 12, Popo 50, that feel like they have the power to dictate the terms if you're gonna live or not, fuck that shit. And I just don't like driving around feeling like, yo, anything can happen at any time. Yo, I've been in situations where, good thing I was just real chill about it, try to be cool about it. Don't inconvenience me. Don't even do that. Don't try to find a reason for something to go down. That's cowardly. And everyone know that's fucking cowardly. You know what's crazy? When people are arguing against how, all right, 1,300 people died from, unarmed people died from getting shot by the police. Let's just You know, I don't arm, I don't even unarm. There are 5 times more white people in America than black people. Probably even more, 6 times. There's a few percentage and a few million more Hispanic people in this country than black people. There's a small population of others when it comes to Asian. I mean, you know, so in other various cultures, Middle Eastern. But what's crazy is a black person gets shot by the police. They get killed. The process, innocent, everything. Everything you could think of. Clean slate. And even if the person did have a kind of a record, if they didn't do anything to deserve to be killed, they didn't deserve to be killed. I hate when people do that dumb shit. But with that being said, people talk about, well, if you kind of look at the stats, you know, there were more white people killed than black people by the police. Then why the fuck y'all not mad? Why y'all not upset? You want to go to those people's houses who their son or daughter was killed by the police and say, you going to tell them, well, you know, we just trying to tell the black people that we get killed too. It's like y'all, that's to me what racism looks like, is when instead of agreeing the idea of the problem, you rather be in competition to how you got it worse. Just by sheer numbers. All right, cool. Y'all got killed too. So what's up? Oh, y'all poor too. So what's up? We trying to fight the system. We trying to get our money up. We getting fucked over in these poor neighborhoods. Oh, you rather fight us. Anyway. So, yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. In the perfect world, I wish I could just sit in the house, have a couple cameras, make sure nobody break in, and work from home. And public transportation my way to homeboy's house or some shit like that. Or get a chauffeur. Like, that's the only way you can actually do, like, all right, cool, I ain't got to worry about shit. Nobody got to pull me over. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop me in the middle of the store and like, what you doing here? Like, just all that shit. It's just not fun. That's not the way to live life. So when I speak of fear and people, you know, whatever your fears are, you can go out and face your fears. How do you face this fear? How do you accomplish that? How do you dominate that fear? Oh, you want to go down to the police station and talk about your problems and tell them the things that going on and you hope that it's a better relations between the police and the neighborhood? Okay, then what? Because you're still depending on something to not put harm on you. Yeah, there's some people where, you know, you fear heights. All right, you go out here, you do a tall building. Some people skydive. Some people do some things. You hope that something don't snap or break or one of those just random tragic moments. They be like, all right, cool, the person's scared of heights, try to bungee jump the course. Like, stuff like that. Or I'm scared of roaches and, you know, all of a sudden just a big-ass roach is going to come in. Like, I'm scared of rats. The rats going to bite you and you get you sick. Like, that's extreme shit. But it's still, like, the idea, like, hey, you don't have to fear that. There's nothing that anyone can drive around and feel like, the police make me feel better about existing. These group of people that feel like they got to call the police on every little fucking thing because they just have this. Like, I want y'all to understand. So one of my closest friends, AJ, he does events. Me, big black dude just like me. A lot of the weddings we do, middle of nowhere. A lot of weddings we do are white weddings. Yeah, I mean, the thing about having to do more black weddings than Hispanic weddings is usually black and Hispanic people know somebody who knows somebody who knows someone that DJs. they might not be the, you know, they might just have some speakers and whatever, know how to do music, but they don't really have the MC skills, the personality. They don't know how to run a wedding, don't know how to be organized, be the point guard to the bride and groom to make sure all is good or connect with the wedding planner. But besides the point, they know someone, so they'll figure out, get a decent price. So we do a lot of white weddings, and a lot of places we go, good thing, we usually try to dress in our regular clothes because we have a lot of stuff to pack out of the car and then prepare. So we walk in, and we just trying to look around, figure out where to set up. People, you know, it's kind of like the animal with the prey and the predator, and, you know, you walk in the building, people kind of just, oh, if he stands still, no one will notice. He won't notice us. Until, like, hey, how you doing? My name is Ramon Dixon. I'm going to be the DJ. I was trying to figure out where to set up at. Like, little shit like that. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you can set up there. That shit's trash. It's fucking trash. And we give a shit excuses, but we deal with it. Because why? It's part of fucking survival. That's how we out here living. Some people might not call it fear. Maybe being paranoid. Yo, this shit ain't being paranoid for no... It's a reason. There are reasons. Sometimes it really sucks that we have to find more ways to adjust than the people that's doing the fucked up shit just not to do the fucked up shit. It's not really compared because there's a totally different monster, but women who were raped are being raped. They say, well, women, if you act more like this, you won't have to worry about it. How about this? Just don't rape. Now, just don't rape. That's simple. That's the easiest conclusion. Just don't rape. Regardless if someone has a free mind and want to walk around, look and wear certain, like, that shit, that right there does not equate being raped. The same way this person, like Trayvon Martin, got suspended from school smoking weed. Okay, how's that work in from him being killed? Like, that's not an evenly matched thing. So when that's the type of fear I speak of. There's some women that's scared to go out to the club, regardless of how they look. Why? Motherfuckers grabbing you, coming up on you, saying some wild shit. Afraid to say no to someone. Because they don't know how that person is going to react in the street when you say no. That's a fear. You can't tell them to face their fears for that either. Someone who is Hispanic, doesn't matter if they own papers or not. That shit's irrelevant to me. It really is. You know, people just want to live a better life. Or they feel like they have more freedom to do certain things to where they want to get to or to raise their kids around. So how do you face your fear when people think it's okay for being shot for taking two steps over a line that says you can't step over? It's like the border, the way they make it sound like, it's like a human minefield. Got a bunch of people over there with guns or doing whatever, putting people in these prisons or camps or whatever they are. So how do they face their fears when it comes to that? So this is a different, these are different type of fears when it comes to people. It's Pride Month. Some people have their preference of who they love or who they want to be. some people might have some fundamental questions. Like, man, why would you, you know, like stuff like that. And they genuinely just want to know. Like, it's just, it can be brand new to a lot of people. There are people right now still trying to figure out who they are and what they want to be and who they want to be with. But if people out here just saying, hey, you exist for living this way, you got to die, how do you face that fear? What's the process to face that fear? These are the different type of fears I'm speaking of. So full circle to my perspective is, it just comes down to, man, I just want to keep my black ass in the house. And you can barely do that sometimes. That shit's scary to do by itself. Sit your black ass in the house. Or if you, kind of add on real quick, like, so I grew up on 39th and Center. We lived in a couple other places, but regardless, if you live in Milwaukee, you live somewhere, it's probably the hood, right? And you have this fear, like you just want to be in your house. Bullets flying through the window, ricochet hit the house. You get new siding on your house. Now you look outside, you got a bullet hole in it. There are people in certain neighborhoods are wilding out, doing shit they ain't supposed to be doing. They shouldn't be doing. So, and big picture, you know, you have these systematic issues that sets people up to fail. And then they try to tell you, all you have to do is pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You just march forward. So basically telling me, put on some heavy boots and walk forward and keep on marching for this long paved road of quicksand. Because that's what it is. So when people are living in certain circumstances, it's bad enough they have to deal with the surroundings when it comes to the family members, people, the family's friends, the people that they let come in and harm the young kids and deal with the things they deal with and, you know, it really fucks with people's heads. It's part of the mental health crisis that we have going on. So you live your life in fear. So how do you face that fear? Because those type of fears fucks up you trying to live your life. This is different than a totally different thing than I'm just scared of heights. Some people is like, man, I'm never going to fly a plane. I'd rather just not look out the window on the top floor. Those are avoidable. I'm not going to go to the zoo in the tiger area where you can pet the tigers on a Tuesday. But anyway, it's how do you face those fears? Because those fears that people have, someone like me has, but those things that requires the people that are instilling the fears of those people to stop fucking up, be better, is trash, ass and trash. And it's fucking frustrating. Sometimes people don't want to be sold faith, religion, hope, prayer, people want to be sold on, hey, is this going to be better? Just better. They want to be sold on just better. We're going to do better. We're just going to stop doing the fuck shit. If you can sell that, man, that stock will drive sky high. Sell that. Sell, you know what? We're going to do better. We're going to be better. We are better now. We're going to, no more of this fuck shit. So I just wanted a quick draw on that. Let's keep it simple. It's just fear. So before I finish, I just wanted to kind of give you something to think about also about fear. So now that I am officially in the process of getting married, you know, by the way, relationships are overrated. Can never forget that. And the reason why I say for relationships are overrated, all right, real quick. So you know how, like, if you have a job that you've always wanted, you work that job, you get hired at the job. Wow, I finally got the job I've always wanted. You do everything possible not to get fired from that job. You don't come in late. You work well with everyone else. If you have some issues, you'd be like, you know what? I passionately care for this job. I'm not going to stop me from doing what I love to do. You don't do shit to fuck up that job you've always wanted. So why the fuck does people do that in relationships? Whine, complain, find excuses, do some wild shit. All these different things because of love. What? That's why I think relationships are overrated. Because there's no act right in it. People just think that you're supposed to go through shit because you're supposed to go through shit. No. Just like I said, the struggle's overrated. That shit just overrated. Yeah, people have their bad days and good days, but going through some shit? No. Anyway. But the reason why, you know, to speak of fear just on a small level is just, you know, all right, the planning of having kids, the plan on just being, now you have the title of husband, this provider, whatever the terms husband mean nowadays or whatever the expectation of a man is supposed to be now or look forward to, like all these different things. I don't really look at it that way. I just like being me is all it's worked out when it comes to dealing with people. Now, I don't know about jobs, but for sure people. So it's like you just want to be the best at what you do and make sure you don't disappoint that person that's always wanted to be with you forever in their life. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm real cool and laid back about it, but as things draw closer, you know, it's going to be a pregnancy eventually, and it's going to be, you know, process getting a house and all these different things. It's different. It feels different. Being engaged is the most blissful thing you can be in. Just like beginning of your relationship. When you first get married, it's like the three stages of the highest you ever felt. The beginning of something new. So, yeah. Fear. Speaking of fear, shout out to my homeboys who did a song called Fear. Anyway, well, thank you for listening. I'm glad you, thanks for all the love and appreciation. Number one, listen to the podcast. Number two, man, it was a lot of comments and likes for our engagement on the social media tip. You know, I laugh because, you know, Sarah and Sarah's surroundings is different from mine a little bit. Just when it comes to our friends, how people react and people on say finally and all this other stuff and trying to figure out different things. All the people, the people I know is just showing me just love. Like, man, congrats to you, man. That's inspiring, man. It's like these, it's just different when the reactions. And, you know, I'm trying to keep things in calm. Just calm for Sarah because I don't want her to be overwhelmed. I want her to enjoy this moment. Just embrace and just enjoy it, you know? Don't let everything else kind of worry you right now. We'll get to that. But enjoy it. It's only been a week now. So anyway, thank you for listening. It's never that simple with Ramon. I try to do this at least once a week, every other week, but I know right now it's NBA Finals, but I wanted to get in quick discussion of fear. I feel like that's something everybody can relate to. and just give a perspective on the fears. When people talk about face your fears, the fears that we have right now, our fears is how do you face those things? You can scream loud and put on social media and say, I'm sick of this shit. All right, cool. Now what? Because that don't stop any of the people who's out here doing the shit to stop doing the shit. Especially when they don't give a fuck. Especially when they feel like they have the power or they can dictate the terms when it comes to your life. That's the worst part. This is life and death when it comes to these fears. So, holla at your boy. Y'all take care. Y'all be safe. All right, holla.